Hello to the Heboxin radio station. I'm Clary.
And I'm Fury, and this is our second broadcast.
We hope you enjoyed the first one.
And this time we will talk about BBSs and SysOps and traders and all about that. Mostly about the past, like the 90s, 1990 until maybe 1995, something like that.
So technically, we're gonna explain some word or some word we are going to use in this broadcast. The first one will be BBSs that you already talked in the first one, but we have to explain it perhaps again for the people that haven't seen that wasn't here the first time.
Okay, a quick explanation of a BBS. It's a short for built-in board system. Basically, a computer that normally was in the home of some person, the SysOp, where people could upload and download files. So it was basically an exchange place for files and for messages.
And CoSysOp, what was a CoSysOp? Because it also exists.
A CoSysOp was just a person, a user that helped the SysOp, the system operator, to manage his BBS. Normally, the SysOp, he was just setting up the hardware and he was looking after that, and of course he was quite involved. But most of the time there were that many files released and uploaded and he couldn't take care of it all by himself. So the CoSysOp was just a little help for him.
And what kind of program was running? You were running a BBS with?
There were different ones. It depends. In the more illegal scene, let's say it like that, it was Ami Express. That was quite the first one that was brought widespread, let's say like that. There were a lot of clones of that program afterwards, like Tempest or Sigma Express, and later Daydream and Fame.
And what kind of program was a trader using to trade? I know personally I was using Terminus, but I know you don't like this one.
Well, I used it also for some scripts, but I was always an Encom lover. I don't know why, it was the first one I used. Other popular ones were JRCom, and Term was a bit later, yes, but then was quite popular too. Basically just terminal programs.
So when did you start to be a trader?
When I bought my first modem in 1990, I was not directly a trader, of course, because you don't start to in that scene just like that, but you work your way up.
So before you do some more explanation, we're gonna listen a module from Wipeout on PlayStation.
It's by Chemical Brothers.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
welcome back with us. Fury was just saying that he was starting the trading scene in 90.
Yeah, that's correct. And by the way, when did you start? I think you traded some too.
Oh, I had just a little quick trading moment in 94, 95, but it wasn't that huge as what you did.
Well, but anyway, I saw you on the board too, so that was when I found you.
Oh yeah, some time ago.
Okay, so what's next?
So how did that all start? I mean, you started in the 90s, but how it was before? I mean,
well, I don't know how it was before because I don't know. But when I started, I mean, first it was quite hard to get into the whole scene. I mean, I was not really doing anything in the scene before. Not like other people; they were mail swapping or whatever. I did not do much. I was playing games and swapping just locally with friends. So to get into the whole scene, it was quite hard. You had to know some people and work your way up. Like first you connect yourself to the local BBS and you try to impress the SysOp with some uploads. And like that you get more known. Then you can connect to other BBSs. They will let you in because you know this guy and so on. But yeah, in the beginning it was quite hard also to connect to BBSs in the USA.
But to connect in the USA, I guess you haven't used your parents' phone bill.
No. Well, in the past there were some ways to call for free. Which were probably not quite legal, but anyway, it was quite well known, and almost every trader was not calling on his own phone bill because that was much too expensive, as you can imagine.
And has said to me, Mario, once you just have to shout into the phone and you get a line.
Yeah, more or less. But I mean, if you want to know how it's working, maybe we could make another emission about that. Another broadcast about that. Basically, there were ways to abuse your phone line in several ways. We will probably talk about that later.
What kind of BBS were you calling first in the USA?
At my time, I can tell you some names of popular BBSs that I called. I think one of the first ones I called was The Edge. And the system was Planet Master. That was one of the fastest BBSs when I joined the modem scene. And I think he was online since 1982 or something. He started on C64, and he moved the BBS to C128, and finally he moved it to Amiga when it came out. And that was a great BBS because he was always there. And that was one of the first ones. Then Gates of Asgard, for example, with a SysOp rotor. That BBS was located in Alaska, USA, and that's quite special too. And it was the world headquarters of my first group, Zenit.
And how many modem did you had?
I think at that time we had 5 or 6 lines or nodes. And one special story about this BBS was that for new users they couldn't get on all nodes, but there was like it was only possible to sign on the BBS on the sixth node. And those BBSs usually had ring down nodes. That means if you call just the main number and it's busy, then he will connect you to the second and so on, just ring down. And but every node of course had its own number, and you had to know the number of node 6 to be actually able to log in as a new user. That was quite funny, I think.
And you were also in the main USA in other BBS.
Well, at that time it was also Dance Macabre of SysOp Nosferatu was quite popular, and End of the World, The Ghetto, SysOp was Endeavoron.
This one I remember.
I think that's where we met the first time, right?
I'm not sure it would be this one. I thought it was probably Mortuary. You were SysOp or CoSysOp there? Or?
Yeah, Mortuary was actually my favorite BBS. Blood Wolf was the SysOp. Hi to him if he's listening, you never know. And yeah, I was co-sys up there for a long time, and I really enjoyed that BBS.
And what was first, the BBS in Europe or in 90? What was the fastest, to be a BBS in America or to be a BBS in Europe?
Definitely in the USA. It was the whole time. It was the standard was USA, and Europe was just was never good like that. Every software was released in the USA, and then it was eventually moved to Europe too. But all the fastest BBSs were in the USA, and all the world headquarters for the groups that released the games and software, they were all having the world headquarters in the USA.
I guess the situation was the same since 94, because when I started to trade a bit, it was still America that was fastest, but it has changed for 95, 96. Why do you know why it changed? Those changes happened?
Yeah, well, in 95 there was a really big bust of ports in the USA. I think it was the FBI was involved and all that. So a lot of ports got busted, and almost all the rest just closed down for good because they were scared or they were threatened to be bust also. And that's why all those BBS just went down. And that was really, really sad, because the time people spent on there and all the whole feeling on there was really special, and was a great time to trade on there and have competition with all the other traders.
How can you describe the feeling it was? I mean, I can imagine to upload the fastest file and so on. Can you tell us a bit how it was the feeling of the trader?
That's hard to explain, but I don't know. You have to imagine, for example, I was in some groups that were releasing games for really as the first in the world. That means sometimes you were involved to actually getting the original of the game and transfer it to a cracker who broke the security of so you could actually copy the game. And then you had to transfer it on the world headquarters, and there people got it for the first time. So sometimes you had a software that nobody else in the world had at this time. So that was really a special feeling. Or when you just the trading itself, I mean, you had the best situation if you had multiple modems and phone lines at your home, because like that you could put one phone line, one modem you put on the world headquarters of a group that you probably knew. You got informed that some game was about to be released, so you put one node there and just waiting to download it when it's put there. And with the other nodes, you already connected to the fastest BBSs where you wanted to upload it first. So actually, nobody who had just one phone line, he could never be as fast as you. He could never beat you, because he has first to download the file, and then he can reconnect to the upload BBS. And then it was already there, because you could upload multiple files at the same time.
Yeah, tell me, you have to wake up in the night and to send another upload, and you have to... Oh my God, it's terrible to have just one modem. When I remember this time, it was just... it was really funny, but also painful.
Yeah, at my best time when trading, I was using four phone lines at the same time with four modems, and that was quite a full-time job, but I didn't take that much time.
I remember in the Enterprise, well, in 94, it was almost impossible when you were not known to enter, because I have tried many times to enter this BBS, and for me it was not possible. Picard always finding some
kicked you out.
all the time it was I never passed, I guess, on the new user level or whatever it's called.
I have maybe some words to some other BBSs that were good at that time. For example, Mirage was good, the Fairlight World Headquarters at that time, or Ice Station Zebra, Pirate's Haven, all great BBSs.
Also, I remember Void, but you don't like this one, eh?
The Void, well, I didn't quite like it, but okay, just a matter of taste.
And why... why was this BBS in 95 just disappeared. We said it for the FBI, but also it was also the end of the calling card. Can you explain perhaps a bit about the calling card?
Yeah, okay. That was one way to call for free. Like you just used the calling card of some person you didn't even know, and they just got the phone bill, but probably it was not them who had to pay, because it was quite obvious it was not them who had called that much. So it's just a credit card or AT&T or whoever who paid the bill. But this was really popular, yeah, all the time until about 1995, 1996. Then this quite disappeared.
I guess it disappeared because of the internet. In 96, you could find BBSs on Telnet.
Yeah, but it was quite the other way around. Actually, all the internet stuff and BBSs who went to internet, that came because people couldn't call direct anymore. I think it was like that. And you could say because, the calls... The ways to call for free disappeared, so you had to find other solutions to let your users log in, and internet was the solution.
So it did it kill a bit the feeling BBS?
I think so, because of course there was BBSs are still online now, but to move the big files, for example, on PC, FTP servers are much more popular.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, for sure. And now it's even faster, and you can be online all the time, so it's not a problem to upload anyway. You can just let a batch in the night, and it's working.
That's true.
So I think that's it for today. In our next podcast, we're gonna talk about Ami Elite in general, and about all those BBS that are on Telnet now that are left. Some are really old, and have survived to all this bust and so on. And I don't know.
All right. So maybe let's play some more music and have a nice time, and see you maybe next time in our next broadcast.
Okay, see you, Yuri. And if not, then I will just kill you tonight or something.
Ah.